Our lesson today is separate. God bless America is often heard along this land. How many times do we hear America? Bless God. Are there ways that we can bless the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Would separate be one of them? This one-word title comes from a quote, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," unquote. Let's all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Those of us with the good vision, please let's work out of our own swords when we're familiar with them, and someone we spot a need on someone and an open opportunity, a door opening. Whenever someone asks us a question about why we believe the way we believe, that door is cracked open. And if God gives us the wisdom, we can maybe keep that from slamming shut on us while we answer their question. Not always. There are five responses you get to anything, and four of them are very carnal. Brother Chuck and I have been talking about that. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We're looking at verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Classmates, would you take the even-numbered verses? Would you please let me respond with the odd-numbered verses? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, classmates, please stand for the reading of the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is out of respect to the author of Scripture and to His Word. And you read first, verse number 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Thank you. Please be seated. How many of us have felt that we are permanently trapped, even encased in mystery Babylon? How many of us feel like we are helplessly, hopelessly speeding in a freight train, handcuffed to the rail in the last boxcar, going into the abyss because the bridge is out? Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. We'll be looking at verses 2, 3, and 4. This is the last book on God's library shelf, the Revelation letter. Revelation chapter 18, the chapter on Mystery Babylon. How many of us feel we are permanently ensnared in Mystery Babylon with no hope of escape from being, quote-unquote, partakers of her sins, and receivers, quote-unquote, of her plagues? Classmates, would you take the even-numbered verses? Would you let me respond with verse number 3? We're in Revelation chapter 18. Would you please read first verse number 2? "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." How long Will mystery Babylon continue to bedevil us? If we separate from mystery Babylon, will we draw persecution unto our families? How do we separate ourselves from mystery Babylon? How do we do that? One of the major statutes under the laws of Bible study we can best illustrate with the question: would our God, the God of our fathers, command us to do that which is impossible? Would we be accusing God of being a man? Some of us know that as Selah in the Psalms and Habakkuk. Does God's intervention on behalf of Adam speak for itself? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. What does the Word of God say? What does the end time prophet Jeremiah say? From God. Classmates, would you let me do the even-numbered verses? Would you respond with the odd-numbered verses? We're in Jeremiah chapter 29. I read first verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Let's go to Daniel, the end time prophet Daniel, chapter 9. We'll be looking at verse number 2 in Daniel chapter 9. Did the end time prophet Daniel, in the first year King Darius the Mede was made king of the realm of the Chaldeans, read Jeremiah's 70-year prophecy? Let us read together out of Daniel chapter 9 in unison, verse number 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Wow. Do we see the harmony of the prophets here? Daniel remained in Persia, even under King Cyrus, when the king issued the decree, and the 42,000 and change returned from captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah. Did Daniel train the wise men whose descendants sought the one born king of the Jews when they saw his star in the east? How can we doubt the plain record of history concerning the faithfulness of the God of our fathers and his solicitude toward our ancestors? Does the faithfulness of our God and his Christ tell us he commands that which is possible to do? Let us return to Revelation chapter 18, verse number 4. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Is it very possible for us to obey this heavenly commandment? Let us read together in unison once again out of Revelation chapter 18, verse number 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Quote, come out of her, my people. Unquote. Is it axiomatic that God would never command us to do something we could never do? When we come out of mystery Babylon, will that separate us and mystery Babylon? Could it be? Is it possible that every generation of God's family on earth has been training to obey this very commandment? What is our evidence? Let's put a mark in Exodus chapter 33, verse number 14. We're going to be coming back to this. We're in the second book of Moses, Exodus, chapter number 33. And we're looking for the moment at verse 14. Is the God of our fathers in the blessed assurance business? Isn't that part of his family business? Didn't we sing, He giveth more grace today? Read with me what he told Moses. We're in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Quote, and I will give thee rest, unquote. Does quote, unquote, I will give thee rest remind us of the scripture in Hebrews? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 5 and 6. We're in the letter, the general epistle to the Hebrews, found in the New Testament scriptures. Let us read together in unison. Verse number 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Are, quote, those things which were to be spoken after, unquote, being, quote, unquote, spoken after in Hebrews. Let us read together in unison verse number 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Quote, unquote, if. Such a tiny two-letter diphthong, especially for such heavy sets of consequences that follow. Quote, if we hold fast the confidence, unquote. Quote, if we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, unquote. How well did our ancestors do in the wilderness? Did almost an entire generation fail to enter the promised land? Will there be a second Exodus at the end of the age? Revelation chapter 12. If that comes upon us, how well will our generation do, or the generation that goes into the second Exodus? Will we sin after the manner of our ancestors? Will we sheep give stupid a new name? Will we fight the very thing that tries to save us? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Would it help us prepare for the second Exodus by studying the errors of our ancestors in the first Exodus? May we stand once again in honor of the Word of God and read responsively verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 out of Hebrews chapter 7. Classmates, let me take the even-numbered verses. Would you respond, please, with the odd-numbered verses? I read first out of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Quote, they shall not enter into my rest, unquote. Almost an entire generation did not enter into his rest. Their carcasses dropped in the wilderness. Please be seated. Verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. What a story. shall we continue the responsive reading. Classmates, you have verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? Quote, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, unquote. Quote, to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, unquote. Quote, unquote, to them that believe not. Did even Moses fail to enter the promised land? Did only Caleb and Joshua, the faithful spies from that generation of our ancestors, enter into the promised land? Look at verse 19. What did they do that they counted themselves unworthy of God's promised rest? Let us read out of Hebrews chapter number 3 in unison, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What about us? They're literal descendants today. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Are we mentioned? Does that promise of entering into his rest apply to us? Let us read together in unison. Out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Does you mean me? How does this promise made to them constitute a promise made to us? The next verse begins with the word for. The word for indicates that what follows is an explanation of why this is true. Classmates, let us read together in unison verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Was the gospel preached unto the Hebrews in the wilderness? Just like the gospel has been preached unto us? Or are we in unbelief concerning the plain scripture of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2? Does Paul press the point in verse 3? Let us read together out of Hebrews chapter 4 in unison, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Can we enter into this rest? Is the only thing blocking us from, quote unquote, entering into his rest our unbelief? Did God have problems in Egypt with that generation he led into the wilderness? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Ezekiel chapter 20, the end time prophet Ezekiel. Was he addressed by God? Shall we look at the end time prophet Ezekiel's report of our ancestors' behavior in Egypt? What happened? Classmates, would you let me read the odd-numbered verses? Would you please respond with the even-numbered verses? We're in Ezekiel chapter 20. I read verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith the sovereign great I am, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the great I am, your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the great I am, your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Quote, in the midst of the land of Egypt. This is not a good report of our ancestors in Egypt. Did every man have Egyptian abominations before their eyes? Did they worship all the gods of Egypt? Did our Lord pour out his fury upon them? Did the Lord our God accomplish his anger against them, quote, in the midst of the land of Egypt, unquote? Was there anything that could prevent Israel's God from making them an indelible lesson before all the known world? We're looking in Ezekiel chapter 20 at verses 9 and 10. Classmates, let me read verse 9. Please respond with verse 10. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Is it true God spared our ancestors in Egypt from his anger? From his righteous wrath. 10 times God severed the land of Goshen from all Egypt in the plagues when he judged all the gods of Egypt. Nothing of the flocks and herds and firstborn sons of Israel died. 10 times God put a separation between the Egyptians and his people Israel. 10 times God made the Egyptians know how that the Lord did, quote unquote, put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. That from Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. Are we like them? Are we like them that believed not? Did the God of our fathers preach that we, their descendants, should also be separate? Let's go back to Exodus 33. Are you glad you kept your marker there? Exodus chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. Earlier in this lesson, we read verse 14, that the God of our fathers made promise to Moses, quote, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest, unquote. Moses took this opportunity with God's promise to them and to us to secure a full understanding from him, quote unquote, with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:13. Classmates, we're looking at verses 15 and 16 in Exodus chapter 33. Let me read verse 15. Please respond with verse 16. We're in Exodus 33. I read first verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For when shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. Are we going to have to separate ourselves from Mystery Babylon without the presence of our Lord God? Or do we get his help to do so? What was Moses' understanding of cause and effect? According to Moses, what caused we to be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth? How does Israel know that she has found grace in his sight? What did Moses ask? Quote, is it not in that thou goest with us? Unquote. Does God today go with American Israel? Oh boy. Is it because we do not seek to be separate as a people? Do we worship the gods of the strangers among us? Do we refuse to cast away the abominations before our eyes? Are we like them? Are we like them that believed not? Or are we like Caleb and Joshua? Were Joshua and Caleb the only two that crossed the Jordan and entered into the promised land from the generation whose carcasses dropped in the wilderness? What did God say in response to Moses' question? Look at verse 17. Classmates out of Exodus chapter 33, may we read together in unison verse number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Quote, I know thee by name. Unquote. What did God mean by that? It was in our lesson, eternal. If a name be blotted out of the book of life, will Jesus say, I never did get to know you? Did Moses offer himself in atonement for the sin of the people of Israel in the wilderness? Quote, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Exodus 32:32. Quote, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, unquote. Did our God answer what Moses said in verse 16? Quote, in that thou goest with us, unquote. It shall, quote, be known, I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. So shall we be separated from all the people that are on the face of the earth. Does God go with American Israel? Are we like them? Are we like them that believe not? Or are we like Caleb and Joshua? Is there a way to tell what we will do? Can we tell what we will do to answer this question? What will you and I do? Do we know? Let's go to the fourth psalm and read together in unison verse number 3. Is there a way to tell what we will do from what we are doing now? Let us read together out of Psalms, the fourth, in unison verse number 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Does that sound like the Lord has empowered us to separate? Are we really totally outright rescues? Rescues of the great shepherd tending his flock? Quote, the Lord has set apart him that is godly, unquote. Does that sound like we get a lot of help to be separatists? the translation hath set apart is from Hebrew word number 6395, Paulah, a primitive root to distinguish literally or figuratively. It's translated variously as put a difference, show, marvelous, separate, separate, set apart, sever. Here's one. Make wonderfully. What's that one all about? Psalms, the 139th. If you'll take a look at page 3 on your bulletin, what we're about to cover from the scriptures has been placed here, fearfully and wonderfully made. It's on the opposite side of the prayer list. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Things happen around here, guys. The same Hebrew verb, Hebrew word number 6395, Paul Law, appears in Psalms, the 139th, verse 14. Let us read together in unison from the 139th Psalm, verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This is even in the fallen condition. Our fallen condition. Wonderfully translates Hebrew word number 6395, the Hebrew verb Paulah, translated as separate. Make wonderfully. This is the same Hebrew verb translated separated in Exodus chapter 33, verse 16. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Is there a way to tell what we will do? Can we know what we will do to come out of mystery Babylon? Let's go to Leviticus, the third of the books of Moses, chapter number 20. We're looking at verses 24, 25, 26. Can we know what we will do from what we are doing now? Classmates, let me read the even-numbered verses. Would you respond with verse number 25? We're in Leviticus chapter 20. I read first verse number 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the great I am, your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. 6 minutes to go, Don. Verse number 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye shall be mine. Do we want to be his? Quote, ye shall be mine, unquote. If we are obeying God's commandment to eat only clean meats, are we being holy unto him, quote unquote, with whom we have to do? Are we being the separated, severed people of God, being holy unto him? Are we rehearsing to come out of her, my people? In being separate, is God already training us to depart from mystery Babylon? Let's go to Matthew, last chapter. First Gospel, last chapter of the first Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll begin with verse 18. These verses we know as the Great Commission. Let us read together in unison out of Matthew 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Quote, all power, unquote. Did the devil lose big at the cross? What therefore does Jesus want his family to do? Let us read in unison verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, quote unquote, all nations of Adam kind in Israel. Open book quiz. What is the missing part, the neglected part of the Great Commission? Teach what? Let us read together out of Matthew 28, verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If American Israel had been teaching, quote, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, unquote, would Jesus still go with us? Would teaching, quote unquote, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, put a big difference between us and Mystery Babylon? Did God already rescue our ancestors from ancient Babylon?